I was staying with my brother at a cabin in northern Montana. It was in a dip between the mountains, tucked away in the trees. Both me and my brother Johnny were very outdoorsy, so this was a pretty typical trip for us, hanging out in the woods, going for hikes, and just exploring. Because of the drive, we spent the first day taking it slow, hanging around the cabin and enjoying the scenery, without doing too much away from the cabin. I think it was around 5:30 when Johnny decided to go for a walk before it got dark. I didn't pay much attention, and just looked over at him as he walked out, and said alright. He didn't bring any backpack or anything, so I knew he was just going for something short. I laid back down and chilled on the couch near the fireplace. I was barely awake, exhausted from doing most of the driving earlier. But the cabin slowly got darker and darker as the sun fell behind the mountains. Only once it was just the fireplace lighting up the cabin did I realize Johnny hadn't come back yet, and obviously it was way too dark to be walking around still without any gear. I jumped up and grabbed my day bag, along with a headlamp and a flashlight, then headed out to make sure he was okay. My first thought was that we were in bear country, so I was pretty nervous about Johnny possibly running into one. Although, as I got deeper into the woods along the path, my nervousness shifted toward a different possibility. I kept getting a bad sense, making me look behind myself several times, as if expecting someone to be there. Never saw anything, though. In just 10 minutes down the trail, I saw Johnny coming down toward me. He looked uneasy, and he wasn't in a dead sprint or anything, but he was moving fairly quickly, like he was trying to get away from something. We both started talking at the same time. I was trying to ask what was going on, and he was trying to tell me to turn back and get to the cabin. Eventually, we both just started fast walking back, getting back inside, where he then told me he saw someone watching him from out in the trees. He said the guy looked really creepy, and as he kept walking through the trail, the man almost seemed to be stalking him. Johnny thought if he just walked back to the cabin in the daylight, the guy might have followed him, so he waited till dark. Johnny, probably because he was the older brother, assured me it was likely nothing though, and he was just trying to be safe rather than sorry. I trusted him, and tried not to worry about it. The guy he saw probably just had a cabin nearby too, or was on a hike. We made dinner, then sat out on the front porch for the rest of the night next to a campfire. I think both of us were also trying to keep watch for anyone watching us, but neither of us admitted it. The mountains got more quiet as the night went on. We talked around the campfire well into the night, going in later and sleeping until morning. After a short breakfast, we packed our bags and left to go on the main hike in the area, going up to the peak of one of the mountains, and taking around 6 hours. Both of us were super exhausted afterward. The last hour of walking back to the cabin felt like it dragged on. Heading in, Johnny tossed his bag down and said he was going to take a shower. I waited on the couch. The cabin only had 2 rooms and 1 bathroom, so I had to wait for him. I was only laying there for a minute though, when I randomly just remembered about the guy my brother was talking about yesterday. I got up and looked out the windows, almost expecting to see him out there. I went back over to the couch, but I just felt strange all of a sudden. A few more minutes went by, trying to figure out what it was I was feeling, when I noticed the obnoxious sound of the water pump for the shower hadn't started yet.
Johnny?
No response. I got up and walked down the hall toward the bedroom. I knocked on the door and said his name again. I felt something unsettling as I reached down and cracked open the door. I opened it slowly, maybe just a few inches, and could see Johnny between the crack in the door. He was kneeling down in the corner of the room, eyes wide open and staring at me, subtly shaking his head no, clearly telling me to go away. The fear in his eyes was so unnerving, it still is burned into my memory, clear as day. Just a horrifying sight I wish I never have to see again. I pushed the door open fully, seeing a man standing just a few feet from him. He also had wide eyes, but in a tired, disturbing way. He wore disheveled, torn-up clothes and had oily, long black hair. In that moment, I didn't have time to think. It was just my instant, unprocessed reaction to stop him. I charged at him, and only once I was a couple steps away, I saw him raise a gun from his side. I tackled him, and Johnny immediately knew what to do. We wrestled the gun away from him and got him mostly under control. I swear this guy was feral, screaming and screeching and clawing to try to get away. I'd never seen anything like it. He wasn't letting up either, so it took a while to figure out exactly how to get out of this. We decided Johnny, who was much bigger than I was, would hold him down while I got the car ready. I did as he said, quickly tossing our bags in the car, which had everything already packed in it from our recent hike. Then I turned the car on and got it ready. I went back in and we tried to tie him up with anything we could find around the cabin, just enough to let us get away, and obviously we took the gun with us. We could hear him screaming from inside the cabin as we drove away. Once we were in service, we notified police, but by the time they made it to the cabin, all the scraps we tied him up with were left amidst the floor, and the man was nowhere to be found. My brother said when he went into the room to shower, he was caught completely off guard and held at gunpoint, where he was told to call me into the room. My brother refused, knowing he'd be giving me no chance if he did. But then I walked in anyway. We still talk about how insane it was that I tackled the guy. Honestly, I can't even explain it, but it could have been what got us out of that cabin alive. Now, the only clue the authorities have as to who the guy was is from the gun that we gave them. They were able to figure out who it was registered to and found it belonged to a man who'd been missing 5 years from somewhere about 50 miles away from where we were. However, from the description we gave them of what the guy looked like that attacked us, it seemed like it was probably someone else. Which leads us to believe that whoever attacked us had also attacked the owner of the firearm, ultimately leaving him as a missing person. So, assuming things had gone any differently, that could have been mine and Johnny's fate as well. In 2016, I made a trip down to my father's old cabin. It was 6 hours away in the woods outside of the hometown he grew up in, which was no longer even a town. Just an abandoned row of old buildings and stores along a deserted road. We'd never really go to his cabin because he said there wasn't much of a reason to once the town was gone. But after he passed away, I figured it'd be nice to take a trip down there to visit the home he once built. I knew it'd be in real bad shape, and I wanted to do some restorations on it as best I could, just to keep it standing and preserve it for as long as possible. If anything, I hoped the trip would clear my mind a little and give me some peace and quiet. I drove there, arriving at the town and parking my car behind one of the abandoned gas station buildings. Then walked on the thin, rugged, winding trail 2 miles up to the cabin. I had all my backpacking gear and brought along the tools I need for the job. There was a part of me that knew it might have toppled already, so I was prepared to camp the night in a tent if I had to. Luckily, after making the long trek through the woods though, I found the cabin still standing. It was in a small clearing in the trees. Just a basic, rectangular log cabin with vines and greenery growing up the outer walls. When I walked in, I noticed there were no locks on the door, and found the interior to be in pretty awful shape. Trash scattered everywhere, and a musty, unpleasant smell filling the room. It was clear that at some point, someone realized this place wasn't in use, and probably had stayed here, maybe for a while, although it seemed it wasn't recent. No signs of anything being there for a couple years or so. I moved what I could into the corner of the room, making a flat space to put my stuff, and with the sun already setting, I unrolled my sleeping bag and just settled in. I should mention, although I didn't hear or see anything that night, I couldn't sleep for any longer than 30 minutes at a time before waking up with a strange, disturbing feeling. It made for a really bad night. I got up at sunrise, groggy and wondering if this whole trip was a mistake. I used my little camping stove to brew up a coffee, then took a walk through the woods to clear my head. It was still kind of dark, the sun only barely peeking out through the trees. A little ways in, I found an overlook, sort of a hill where I could see above the tree line. Thought it'd be a great place to watch the sunrise, but I found something else. I could see the abandoned town from up there. It was very far away, but there was a light. Looked like it was from a window in one of the buildings. I couldn't tell from that distance if it was from a house or a store, and it turned off suddenly a minute later. It made me worry a bit about my car, but mostly I was just surprised anyone else was around here. Likely, it was just some urban explorers checking out the town, and nothing to worry about, although it was a really big coincidence. I sat on the hill for an hour watching the sun come up, then walked back through the woods to start working on the cabin. First thing was to reseal and clean up the outside. I will say though, the whole time I was out there working, I kept getting that feeling, the one I had during the night. Every time I looked back at the woods, this eerie sense loomed over me. It took me a bit to really understand what it was that I felt, but eventually I managed to grasp what I think it was. I felt like I wasn't alone. I kept working, but constantly looked over my shoulder. The possibility of anyone else being out here was genuinely impossible. The abandoned town, sure, but here, some random woods with nothing but a decaying cabin. I thought I must have been on edge for reasons that were beyond me. Once the sun was going down, I headed inside, testing out the old wood stove. These things seemed to be undying, as it fired up no problem and warmed up the cabin. I sat near it and just watched the flames, listening to it crackle as I thought about everything. My dad, this trip, just life in general. But sometime later in the night, the crackles in the flame were suddenly accompanied by a similar sound. Cracks and crunching coming from the front of the cabin. I turned my head and listened. I only managed to realize it wasn't a wild animal and was definitely a person just as they got up to the front door. The wood stove suddenly felt like it was 1,000 times louder, preventing me from intently listening to whoever the hell was outside the cabin. Then they knocked and called out a name that made my whole world stop for a moment. The man called out my dad's name. It felt like it just took hold of me, making me stand up and walk up to the other side of the door in complete shock. How did he know my dad? I couldn't resist calling out and asking who he was. The man outside hesitated. I think he knew after I spoke that I wasn't my dad.
"I'm an old friend of the man who built this cabin. Was hoping I'd get to see him again,"
the unknown man spoke. I got a little closer to the door, the urge to open it and have someone to talk to about my dad, to hear stories and everything. But still, something kept me from opening it. why was he even here? I asked, and the man said he lived in that old town. After thinking for a second, I decided to share that I was the son of the man he was looking for, my dad, and he had passed away. The man behind the door paused.
I'm real sorry to hear that, kid. Wish I could have seen him one more time.
Initially, it felt nice to hear that, but I quickly sensed something was off about the way he said it. Something in his voice. It wasn't the sadness I was expecting from someone who just found out they lost a friend. Before I could say anything, and almost like he knew I was thinking too hard about it, the man continued talking.
Why don't you open up and we can have a chat? It's real cold out here, son. Would be nice to share that fire.
Although he talked very slowly, I sensed an urgency or a lack of patience in his voice. Something in me felt he wasn't being truthful, that maybe he wasn't who he said he was. Sure, he knew my dad's name and was in the town he used to live in, but how did I know he was really a friend of his? Still, as I was thinking, I couldn't find what words to say next, and in my pause, the man asked again for me to open up. He knocked on the door again, a little harsher. His voice grew less kind and more demanding. I took a few steps from the door, backing away.
Kid, open the door. You gonna let me die out here in the cold? That way your father would want from you.
My heart began pounding as I dug into my backpack for my hunting knife. The man continued hitting the door and yelling subtle threats, discarding the fake identity of being a kind, harmless friend. This went on for much longer than I could keep track of. It felt like it never ended, some continuous nightmare. But suddenly, the man punched the door in anger, and it was followed by the sound of his footsteps walking away, going back into the woods. I stayed up all night, mind racing as I waited in fear. But when the sun came up, and with no signs of him around, I hurriedly packed my bag and ran from the cabin. I got really lucky, finding my car untouched, still well hidden behind the crumbling gas station. I fled from the town and drove nonstop back home. I was hoping with that trip I'd get some answers, or come to terms with everything, but honestly, I'm just left with more questions. I realized I never even really knew why my dad moved away from there. I guess I assumed it was because the town was dying off and everyone else was leaving, but now I think there was probably more to it, and maybe there were other reasons that he'd never brought me back to his cabin. I don't know why that man was still around there, or what he really wanted from me, or how he even knew my dad at all. But something tells me he didn't have any good intentions that night. Had I let my emotions get the better of me and opened the door to invite him in, I genuinely don't think I ever would have made it out of that town. This was a while ago, 2014, when I was taking a gap year from college to travel the US out of my car. When I got to the East Coast, my cousin offered me to stay at his cabin just south of the Appalachian Mountains. I took the offer, knowing it'd be nice to have an actual place to stay and take a break for a few days. The cabin was nice, too. Honestly, it felt a lot more like a vacation home. Definitely a more modern cabin than the tiny log cabins you usually find in the middle of the forests. I was honestly sort of surprised after seeing it that my cousin let me stay there for free. I started moving a bunch of stuff from my car into the cabin before I went back out to grab whatever was left over and noticed someone watching me. They were out in the tree line, standing far from the path, and with nothing else but me in the house in his view, he had to be looking at me. Maybe they weren't trying to be creepy though, and I didn't know the area. For all I knew, there could have been cabins and houses all around here, just past the trees and out of sight. I grabbed the rest and locked my car, bringing it inside, and saw the man still out there, facing the cabin, as I closed the door. I sent a text to my cousin, letting him know I got in okay and was all good, but also that someone was out there watching me. I just asked if he knew who it might have been. He texted me back while I was unpacking, but I forgot to check it until nearly an hour later, well past when the sun had set. My cousin said the cabin was on 40 acres of his property, with a fence around the whole area. Nobody else should have been out there. That immediately made me feel way worse about what I saw. I mean, before I didn't care all that much, but now it was pretty strange that they were on the property, just staring at me from afar. I went and looked outside again, but beyond the lights from the cabin, it was pitch black. I couldn't even see up to the tree line. It was just complete darkness all around. It gave me a chill as I closed the curtains. I tried to cool off by watching a movie and resting in the bedroom. The movie helped keep my mind occupied, but it didn't relieve the sense completely. And just about an hour into it, I saw something in the corner of my eye. I looked, locking my eyes on the window, where there was a gap in the curtains. I thought I might have just seen something move over there, but now all I could see was my blurry reflection on the glass, and only darkness behind it. I quickly got up and started walking toward it, when there were suddenly footsteps sprinting through the grass. By the time I was looking out the window, I couldn't see anything, and could only faintly hear the footsteps going further into the dark. I immediately called my cousin. I don't know why I didn't just go straight to calling the cops, but my cousin told me to, so I hung up and had the cops on the way within a minute. For how far out the cabin was, the officer made it there in a decent amount of time. However, the guy who had been watching me was long gone, and we both realized pretty quick that there wasn't all that much he could do about it. He couldn't go searching the woods, or really do anything at all, unless the guy showed up again and hung around long enough for the officer to come back. So I was left alone again. I really couldn't shake the uneasy feeling I had for the entire rest of that night. I could have left, but honestly, the thought of bringing all my stuff out to the car, going back and forth from the cabin in the middle of the dark, was more unsettling than just hunkering down inside. Of course, I couldn't help but look out the windows, over and over, even though I couldn't see anything at all. For the last hour before bed, it must have been 12 or 1 a.m., and I was just pacing the house, double-checking everything, and trying to feel safer about going to sleep. I think I was just pushing it off as much as I could, but it was inevitable. I had to rest. I turned off all the lights in the cabin, headed to the bedroom, and locked myself in. I hoped the worst was behind me and got in bed, falling asleep 30 minutes later. I woke up early, like very early, way too early for it to be right. The sun wasn't even up yet, so it had to be around 4 a.m., which meant I'd only slept for a few hours. Almost immediately, my mind went back into that panic state, feeling the need to do a check around the cabin again. There would be no way I could go back to sleep without walking around first to make sure I was still okay. I got up and turned on the hallway light, then just listened for a second. I didn't hear anything but the heavy wind hitting the thin windows throughout the cabin. I started walking, but only got halfway down before hearing something else. It sounded like a couple thumps on the end of the cabin. I knew there was a small library kind of room and a kitchen on that end. I crept a bit closer, and through the lights from the hallway, I could see the shadow of something moving near the end. I froze up, wanting to not believe the situation I was in. But the shadow suddenly stopped moving. There was a few seconds, then it slowly started moving again, before a figure appeared at the end of the hallway. Just from the shape of the figure, I knew it was the same guy that had been watching me, the one I saw out in the trees. I turned around and locked myself back in the bedroom. The silence that followed was deafening. I thought he'd chase me, or try to attack me, or even break down the door. But it was just silent. I could hear my heart pounding. Then a few slow footsteps moved down the hall, right up to the other side of the door, and the man just stood out there. I clenched my phone in my hand, wanting to call for help, but thinking he might hear me and decide to speed up the process of whatever he had planned. So instead, I made the sporadic decision to grab my keys, open the window, and make a run for my car. I got in and sped away from the cabin. When it was all said and done, cops got there and found nobody. The man had entered from a window on the far end that had a broken lock. Whether he had broken it, or it already was, is undetermined. But the cops also found the bedroom door open. The lock on it was just one of those standard pushpin ones. Regardless, that meant the man was prepared to open the door, and was going to at any minute. So if I'd tried to stay there and wait for police, I wouldn't have gotten out so easily. What's really weird is he was there from the moment I arrived at the cabin, which likely means he'd been watching the place for a while, maybe waiting for me or someone to arrive. What he really was intending, I luckily didn't have to find out.